Anything combat with Johnny K.
But it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants, to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we've got an entrepreneur on the show. He's a 15-time UFC vet, CEO of AKA Thailand.
This is round two with him. Please welcome to the show, Mike Swick. How are you, Mike?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. And it was actually really good to see you when I came to the gym in Phuket. I thought it was a really, really high-quality gym, and everyone there was just really nice, dude. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, we pride ourselves on customer experience.
So what do you have planned on? I know that you and me, when we were talking there, you were telling me how after poolside you wanted to do some other ventures with the gym. So can you tell us a little bit about that? What do you have planned?
I can't tell you that. That's everything is a surprise. I'm always going to be building. So, I've always been expanding and, and creating new visions and facilities and things to train in. So it's going to be a big surprise. But everybody that gets in early and stays with us, obviously enjoy the ride.
When I was there, there was a lot of people. Me and my brother, we went to the gym area. I did some like strength and conditioning, and he did some powerlifting. There was so much stuff to do there. Can you run us through how did you pick the coaches for the gym? Because I saw that you had so many different Muay Thai coaches and a lot of high level guys there. So what was that process like?
I mean, it's never ending process. So we have the best, my gym is not like any gym in the world. So we're on our own path. I built the gym to be different. I didn't want to end my career, spend the rest of my life, my post-career, the same as my career. I wanted to have my interests involved, but have a different level of people that in my circle and in my community. And just the whole, everything. So I was the first person to build a fight gym that was basically built from the ground up, designed. Everything was designed by me, and hand built for everyone. It wasn't built for fighters. So it's kind of like Fight Club, the movie, but the gym for Fight Club. So I wanted to open the doors to all these, and the fighters should appreciate this, but I wanted to open up the doors to all the fans, the paying customers, the people that buy your shirts, buy your pay-per-views, that buy your swag. I wanted them to be able to come to an environment and train like the people they see on TV and feel that experience, but not have that dirty, gritty, that I had to come up with. And the intimidation and the fighters walking around, and maybe if someone punched you too hard or whatever else. So I wanted to take all that away and let people just experience you can be a fighter even if you're an accountant, or even if you're a lawyer, or even if you're a celebrity, or even if you're an influencer. You can come here and you can feel what it feels like to be one of us and to be a fighter at a real fight gym with a real curriculum. And do it at your own pace, your own level, your own tolerance, and we won't push you and intimidate you and make you feel uncomfortable. And we have a capacity for how many people we have, so we can create that customer experience. So when you come, everyone's going to know you as well. So you're going to network with so many people. It's not just fighters, but you can take a room full of 50 fighters and they're going to be, there's no networking. There's no networking. It's like a ping pong ball bouncing around. It's just, I had this fight. I'm going to be a UFC fighter. I'm training to do this fight. I'm doing this fight. At AK Thailand, it's like we got millionaires, billionaires, royalty from Saudi Arabia and UAE. We have, Wiz Khalifa was just there for a week. We have Steve Aoki was just there, training. Central C has been there 2 times training. All these guys, Dana White came, so many different people. So the network we have of people, you're networking, you're training like a fighter, but you're not talking about fighting all the time. You know, there's depth to the conversation. There's depth to the gym. It's not just punching a bag and then going and sitting down, eating food and talking about punching the bag. It's punching the bag, going to a restaurant, sitting down, and then talking about how to change the world.
Mike, can you tell me who's the next big guest that's coming to AKA Thailand?
One that just came in today is Best Nostalgia, yeah, for me. But because he was there when we had like no electricity, no water, no air conditioning, no nothing. And we won our first UFC fight, training him on just mats in a open air jungle. It was unbelievable. And we got the UFC victory. He just came back. He's fighting right now on the 25th of next month. But yeah, we have some big celebrities coming in for the high season. So a lot of them, a lot of people, some people come in and they're public and they're cool. Like Wiz. Wiz is chill. Wiz is totally nice. He's, you know, he tells us when he's coming and he's like, whoever's there, no problem. We don't promote it. You know, like we're not trying to advertise it or anything. But anybody that happens to be there, can come up and take pictures with him. And, you know, train alongside him, and he's perfectly cool. Most of the people that are celebrities and you know, higher-end people that come to my gym are friends of mine, and they're real cool people. So it's not like a situation where it's too exclusive and too private, which is where I'm trying to build next. We'll get into. But there are some celebrities coming that do want that secrecy as well. I mentioned one before that came one time and he had wanted complete secrecy and exclusivity, and we gave that to him and let him train, and nobody knew he was there.
Mike, you're putting these people in a position where they get to level up, you know what I mean? They get a level of fulfillment and they can get some purpose out of it. So I want to ask you, what's motivating you to put these people in a position to do that?
It's just interesting for me, you know. So I took the interesting parts of my career. When you're a fighter, it's not a fun job, you know. You train hard, you know, it's hard work, it's a horrible diet, it's, you know, being told what to do. 90% of what it is horrible, but there's a good 10%, you know, and there's like being at the gym, the camaraderie, the community, meeting new people, and all that. I took the aspects that I liked of the fight experience that I've had, you know, being a fighter, and I've put that here in Thailand in a setting, which is another shocking thing in Thailand. When I've been training here for 20 years, I've never seen a real Thai gym, you know, I've never seen a gym in the jungle. You know, it's like I watched Kickboxer when I was a kid, and I come here and I'm like in a hotel room, in a hotel lobby and or weight room, and I'm doing kicks on a bag and you know, just tourists sitting in the little bar area, and it's like, you know, where I'm in the parking lot or I'm in by the street and the cars are going by. So it's like there wasn't a jungle gym, there wasn't that Thailand gym that was in Kickboxer. So I was like, cool, so I'm gonna create, not only am I gonna open the doors for everybody to train like a fighter, I'm gonna make it even more so, you know, the perception to be even more sensational and make it even more real, like realistic to what a fighter would think training in Thailand is like. Most of these guys come here and train at these other gyms that are fighter gyms. They're no different than any other gym in the world. It's like, why do you fly 24 hours to train in a room with four walls that are filled with posters, looks just like the gym you came from 24 hours ago? You sat on a plane, you look outside where you're training here at AK Thailand, you see a jungle, you see a mountain, you know, you see Thailand. This is my dream. You know, this is what I built, my vision. So I opened the door for everybody to come and be a fighter and actually feel like a fighter and feel like they're also in Thailand. You didn't waste your time flying here. Like, you're definitely in Thailand. There's a monkey right there. You know what I'm saying? There's a mountain. You go up the Alpha Tower and you can see the ocean. There's an actual ocean and islands, and you know, you are in Thailand. These other gyms can't do that. And so this whole entire thing packaged together has just never been done before, and we're on our own path.
Mike, when I saw the footage of you training at AKA, I saw you training with, you know, Cain Velasquez, Daniel Cormier, and Khabib, all these like legends. And I want to know, what was the process from you training at AKA? Whose idea was it to then give you the branch to do AKA Thailand? Whose idea was it? Was it yours? Did someone come to you with the offer? How did that start?
I was always going to build a gym. So I've been coming to Thailand for 20 years. So I always wanted to build a gym in Thailand. And we've been voted the number one Muay Thai school in Thailand for 4 straight years by the Thai government. So coming from Texas and building a gym in the country that invented Muay Thai and invented the sport, and then building the gym that the government itself calls the number one gym of the entire country, the number one Muay Thai school, is pretty incredible. But it's honest. And I think that's what made us become number one, was because I kept coming to Thailand and training, and I didn't get what I expected. I didn't feel I was in Thailand. I didn't feel like, you know, from the movies and from the, you know, the stories and from all these things that I thought never happened. I was just, training in places that like were just less quality than where I was in America. And so then it became like, okay, I'm going to build a gym, but I'm going to build a better gym. I might not be able to teach Muay Thai better than the country that invented it, of course. You know, I'm not going to be able to do that. But I can hire the guys. You know, I can hire the guys that are world champions. I can hire the guys that can actually teach Muay Thai to the best of their ability. But I can damn sure build a gym. I can build a gym better than anyone has ever seen and anyone's ever done, because everyone else does it one way. I can do it the other way, and there's no competition. There's like everybody and me. And so that's what I came to do. And then it became just a huge, you know, a big optimistic goal to build the best gym in the world, which is not hard when everyone's doing the same thing. You just do something different. Actually, you do everything different, and you're going to be the best because, or at least you're going to be unique, and you're going to be memorable and special because everyone else is doing their thing and you're over here doing yours. Everybody wants to be here. Everybody wants to be exclusive. Everybody wants to be where everybody isn't, you know, not where everybody is.
So did you go to AKA and say that you wanted to build AKA Thailand, or did AKA say to you, here's this idea. I know that you already wanted to build the gym in Thailand. Take AKA's branding. Like, what was that process? Do you have to speak to the owners?
No, I was already going to build a gym. So that wasn't an issue. And I failed, of course. Like, I failed at everything I've ever done in my life. I failed my way to success on every single thing. So it's like, people are like, dude, you've been successful at everything you've ever done. You know, you had a big business before the UFC. You were in the UFC. You know, now you have AK Thailand. How do you do it? It's like, yeah, but I failed at every single one of those things. I failed at that business before it became successful. I got knocked out in the UFC. I got submitted in the UFC. Yeah, I failed at that too. And then AK Thailand, the same thing. I failed multiple times before it became a gym. So I was going to build a gym regardless. And of course it was going to be, related to my family, AKA is my home, the people that gave me the talent that I didn't have. And my best friend, Javier Mendez, you know, being my mentor and just life guide, on everything, I owed it to him. And so I was going to build this gym, and me and him was just talking. He's like, just call it AK Thailand. And I was just like, that's not going to work. You know, American Kickboxing Academy, it's if anyone breaks it down, you know, it doesn't make sense. But we wore our own little acronym at that time, AKA, you know, it was our own thing. But I was like, you know, the MMA community is kind of sharp, and they're blunt, and they're going to not accept that. And Javier was just very persistent. He's like, no, just do it. Build your gym. And just call it AKA Thailand. And so then I was just like, okay, well, can you give me the rights to use the logo? You own AKA, you know, you're the godfather, you know, you own AKA, the brand, you're the guy. I was like, can you give me the rights to AKA Thailand? You know, can I have that part? And I'll do it. I'll just build it. It's a proven team. It's a proven curriculum. It's a proven concept. And I'll just bring it to Thailand. I'll do something that no one's ever done before. And now we'll have one of the best fight gyms from success fighters to one of the best fight gyms destination-wise to the most popularity and most sensational.
Mike, out of all the celebrities that came to the gym, who were you most surprised with in terms of their skill level?
Wiz Khalifa, of course. There's no doubt about that. Wiz is amazing. Wiz has been training for a long time. He's a superstar. Really nice guy. We had a fun time. Went to this concert. We did all kinds of fun stuff. But he's really good. Wiz can fight. Wiz Khalifa is one of the best fighters. That's not a fighter, but is a fighter. I mean, he could literally beat probably many, many, many people at his weight class in the world. He's a really good fighter. Very good technique. He's been training all the time. He trains all the time. You see him, he's smoking all the time, but he's literally training almost as much as he's smoking. So it was the first time AK Thailand was filled with weed and we were all dizzy, and I remember half of what happened, but it was good times. It was good times. Then we went to the, you know, the show, and I think we're the first Muay Thai gym that got shouted out by a rapper at a show before. So I think that's another first too. Shout out to my AK Thailand family. That was nice of Wiz to do. But he's the best that I've ever seen of all the celebrities that came through. But shockingly, just like I said, these guys that are just because they're celebrities or they chose to do a different path doesn't mean they can't fight. You're not a fighter because you say you're a fighter, like all these guys think. Most of the guys here in Thailand, they tell you they're a fighter because they think they're a fighter, and they're not a fighter. And that's why they've been here for 13 years while I built the gym, and they're still doing the same thing. Yeah, they're not fighting. It's inside of you. It's inside everybody. I mean, look at the past, look at history. It's in our DNA to fight, you know? And so it doesn't matter what you want to do for work and what you want to do as a passion. Everyone has a little bit of fight in them. And some people want to show it off and show their family and show I'm not just a lawyer, I'm not just a celebrity, I'm not just a singer, I'm not just an actor, but I can actually punch people in the face. I think Steve Aoki put it the best. He's like, dude, I can punch someone in the face now. And it's like, yeah, you can. You can kick him and you can punch him. And he's like, yes, yeah, sweet, this is awesome. It was the moment he discovered that he could punch someone in the face. So he had his very first Muay Thai session at AK Thailand as well.
How hard was it to get the gym permits in Thailand? What issues did you come? What issues arose when you were trying to get permits? Did anyone stuff you around with like trademarks or permits for land? Or what issues came up?
So many, man. So many, man. I lost two gyms. I lost two full gyms over all this kind of stuff. Until I had to come big, strong, and bully my way to the top. You got to have really good lawyers here. You got to have really good connections. You got to have really good people backing you to push your way to the top, or you're just going to get eaten alive. It's especially here. You've been here, so you know, like it's a shark infested pool. You know what I'm saying? Like to be number one, and that's where we're sitting right now. It's a dangerous place to be. You know, everybody's nipping at our feet right now. But it's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful culture. It's a beautiful place that's accepted us. And we bring a lot of value to this country. We bring a lot of good people to this country. And we've opened the doors to show the world that Thailand is not just the inventor and the creator of this style Muay Thai. You can do it. And that means you, not your son that wants to be a fighter, not your dad, not her. You can come and do Muay Thai, then no different than you can go do your yoga or your Pilates or your snorkeling or your whatever. You can do Muay Thai in the jungle and be a fighter here at AK Thailand.
Mike, when was the first trip that you made to Thailand? When did that take place?
The first trip I made was 1999, yeah. And I trained in a parking garage in Bangkok on Rama Road 4. And it was called Rampo Gym. Rampo Gym. I can't believe I remember that. It's called Rampo Gym. Peck, I think, was the owner. And then Crew Leck was my trainer. And we cleansed and cleansed and cleansed and cleansed. It's two rings. And it was in the back of a apartment complex on Rama Row 4. And we stayed in the apartment complex and went to the back of the parking lot. And in the covered area, there was two rings. And then there's like the concrete with like that carpet that like isn't like down, like fastened to the concrete or whatever. It's like moves. And so when you kick, it slides and the skin on your feet gets completely eaten away. And like, so yeah, I was like, and then I lived there and then went downstairs and trained every day. And it was like, I woke up and I hit my snooze and I took two Tylenol and I took two Vivarin and then went back to sleep until I woke up. And then I was awake and then I was a little bit pain free and then I'd go training again and then back again, just revolving every day, two times a day.
See, for me, Australia to Thailand is pretty reasonable. You know what I mean? You jump on a plane, it's like 4 or 5 hours, you're there, right? For the US, though, it's difficult to get to. So whose idea was it to take you to Rama, where you went? Was it your idea? Like, where did you hear of the whole, like, the country Thailand? What even brought you there?
When the movie Kickboxer, I knew that the skills, I saw Muay Thai on TV, and I knew that I needed those skills to fight. I wanted to be the best fighter in the world, so I didn't want to wrestle and grapple and do all that. I wanted to fight. I wanted to knock people out. I wanted to be vicious. And so I knew I had to train in this Muay Thai style, and it was in Thailand, so I knew that. And then, you ever seen the Kung Fu? Remember that old show, the Kung Fu?
Which country?
Was it David Carradine? Kung Fu, he just walked around looking for answers and just went from place to place. That's literally what I did. I went to Bangkok by myself in 1999, and I was just like, I'm here to like learn how to beat the shit out of people with my body and like help me. And they're like, that way. And then there's like a gym on like every corner. And so I was just like training here and there and there. I trained in Bangkok at Rampo Gym. Then I went to Pattaya. I ended up training all the way from Rampo Gym to Pattaya, which was at Sitfulek Gym. And I trained with Kitson Grit Sitfulek, which is one of the most famous Thais of all time. He's like the Muhammad Ali of Thailand. Fought in the finals of K2 against Ernesto Hoost. He fought in Japan against all those big guys. He was like 90 kilos. He was like one of the biggest Thais. So he was training in Pattaya at Sitfulek Muay Thai. And I went from Bangkok to Pattaya, train with him, and then I kept training, but I was always in these hotel rooms, and I was next to bars and next to like, it was the room next to me was like some drunk tourist and like, you know, bars and music, and I'm trying to sleep. It's like bum 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 bum. So it was just like, man, there's no, where's the fucking gym with the dogs chasing you and like the trail and like the monkeys in the trees? And like, I couldn't find it anywhere. I was training at all these places and like tons of different gyms. And then I made it to Phuket, and I was like, man, this is a beautiful place. This has got to be where the gyms are, the real gyms are, like the Thailand gyms. And same thing, it was just on one street. It was just all the gyms, exhaust blowing your face, and like they looked like everywhere the gym. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, how did we make a movie in America about a gym in Thailand and do better than the people in Thailand? They knew the sport, they knew the style, they knew the fighting. They just didn't know how to make the gym, because what seemed sensational to us as foreigners, they took for granted because they live here. They don't care about the trees and the jungle and the monkeys and the all that stuff, right? To them, like, I guess it's more, they were more happy to be next to a hotel or happy to be next to a, you know, establishment and look bigger and look more rich and look whatever. So it was opposite. And I was like, no, 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 no. I was like, no. I see all these foreigners coming here, but then they're training at gyms that look like the gyms they're training at home. I'm going to give them a real gym. I'm going to give them a gym that's going to make them, even you predict your talent. So you've seen even the parking lot. I offset the parking lot. So even you can't even see your own car when you're training at Thailand. Like, you literally can't see a motorbike, a car, nothing. All you see is jungle, and all you see is like trees and coconuts and me walking around crazy, just trying to design new and crazy things.
I've got a hard question for you. When you first bought the land and bought the gym, were there any land disputes or scams that you ran into with legal stuff at all?
Yeah. I mean, not this one, but before, yeah. That's how I lost all the other gyms. I got scammed every way you could possibly be scammed. But, you know, you learned that you have to embrace failure and learn from it and understand what it's going to take to get you where you need to go. And then you either got quit, you know. Most people, when they fell, that's the end of the road, you know. It's like they're like, well, I can't do it, and they stop. But for me, it's like, that's the beginning, you know. Now I got the answers. Now I know what not to do. So I'm going to not do that again, and I'm going to go forward. And then you might hit a couple more failures of things that you shouldn't do. But eventually, that, you know, you're going to be given the answers through stubborn failing.
What was one of the scams that happened to you that you were just blown away, just couldn't believe that could even occur?
I mean, it's not in Thailand, it's everywhere. I mean, anytime somebody's not familiar with the area and, you know, you don't know everything that can be, and you don't have anybody to protect you, at the time when I got scammed the first time, you're just an easy target. So, I mean, I've been in Brazil, the same situation. You know, you have to be careful everywhere you go and understand that you're going to be a target if opportunity knocks. And I got scammed because, you know, somebody wanted to give me the perfect piece of land that I found, and they didn't want to register it. You know, they wanted to do a handshake deal. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to put my entire life savings, you know, in a handshake deal. And so they kept my deposit, and it was not that much, and I lost that one. And then another one, you know, I had a partner, and one of the other gyms here hired him and tried to break us up and call, you know, break up the company, which is great, thank God, because now I don't have anyone to be my boss or to have to answer to, I have to ask questions to. But at that time, I would have, because we were equal partners, the three of us. And another gym hired one of my guys, one of us, and he gave up because it was too hard. And he wanted an easy life, and he just has no, you know, he doesn't have the drive inside of him. And so he's just very easy, very weak. And he got bought, and it ruined us, and we lost everything in the process because, you know, when you're equal partners, and when your partner sells out, you're stuck. And so I learned how to get through to that and not make that mistake again. And I just came back bigger and stronger. And I learned that I liked it, actually. You know, I like the fact that, like, the biggest and the strongest and the most savage survives, because I had that dark side. I had that side of me that was savage and that could be the big shark. And a lot of people don't have that. They pretend to have it, and they flaunt it, and they you know, they'll sit there and fake it, but they don't really have it. And so the more I fell, the more I felt like this is where I want to be, because when I do get my rhythm and I get my chance, I'm going to be the shark in this place for sure, hands down.
One thing that I read that you put up was, you said, and early in the podcast, you're talking about the sacrifices, so that's why I want to bring this up. You said, some of my friends say, oh, you're so lucky to be in the UFC. And you said, they don't think about all the sacrifices that I've made, all the small shows, and they don't think about when I was fighting some guy in cut-off jean shorts who looked like a murderer. They wouldn't have done that, but that's what I did to get here. Who, Mike? Who was wearing jeans fighting you, Mike?
He has camo jeans and the mohawk. Yeah. The UFC wasn't so cool before the UFC was cool, you know? And so, like, I was trying to be a tough guy and be the best fighter. And that part of my DNA just really wanted to win. And there was a lot of times I walked out and it wasn't that I was insecure or I was scared about my abilities. I was just like, why am I walking out here to fight this guy with the, you know, cut off jeans and a mohawk and getting, you know, in front of these people that are throwing beer cans at me? What the fuck am I doing? Like, what? I must have like swerved off the path of life somehow and took a wrong turn to like be in this position. I don't know how this is going to pay off, but like it was supposed to be a little more glamorous than this. But then I just kept knocking people out and I was just like, you know what? This is fun. And it just got better and better. And I just kept doing it more and more. And I had 22 amateur fights, 21 wins, one loss. And then I turned pro and, you know, the rest is history.
Who got you into deep diving? I know that you really enjoy this. What does that do for you? And who was the main person that put you in there?
The funniest thing ever is Dan Bilzerian is the one that got me into that. But my good friend right now, Tony, is the one who's keeping me like interested in the diving. He's a photographer. He's a master diver. You can look him up on Instagram. His Tones of Blue, and his photography is unbelievable underwater. And he got my dives down to like 30 meters down on a single breath, something like 100, like 90, I think 80 feet, between 75 and 80 feet on a single breath I could hold, right, and go down. And then my longest breath hold time for one breath was 3 minutes. And it's just the peacefulness of going under the water and seeing life underwater with no air, no machinery, no sound, no just you and the ocean. And there's never been a time I free dive and I didn't see something new, something interesting. And I just feel so in with nature. And to be honest with you, over 50% of life on Earth is underwater. And so it's like there's a lot of shit down there that we haven't seen.
How do you prep for the breath work for that? What do you do there?
Well, that's why I built the poolside at AK Thailand. Has a very deep end, and that we do a lot of breath stuff there, like breath holds, and we do a lot of stuff. But I've been doing that since I was a kid. Like, I wanted to be like in the military when I was a kid. So when I was like real young, I was watching these movies. I wanted to be a Navy SEAL. So I was like always trying to hold my breath and like, you know, do all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, as I've been a free diver here in Phuket, it's just holding your breath and don't do what I do. Like, I'm just very stubborn and I don't like to listen to directions and take notes and sit in class and be told what to do. And my friend Tony hates that. But go to, you know, Tony, one of his courses or his Instagram, and he'll teach you. And like, it'll open a door that's just like, you know, to a world that's a whole other world. And I think everyone should experience that before they die, is to be able to go down and be able to just be one with the ocean. And I went to the Maldives and I was like diving with manta rays that were like, you know, 9 feet wide, 3 meters, and hammerhead sharks, tiger sharks, nurse sharks, stingrays. Like, it was just incredible. And then plus the reef and everything else.
That's funny that you mentioned about the Navy SEAL, because I just read that, and I also read a quote from your mother about you, which was that you never got in trouble when you were a kid and you attacked everything with a fierce determination, if it was horse riding or pool playing. Yeah. So tell me about that. So you never got in trouble, not once, and you became a fighter.
No, because my dad was a very intellectual person, and he just taught me through punishment, because he never like hit me or anything like that, or punished me with like force, but he intellectually punished me and basically showed me how everything I did wrong, how it could have been right. And so he basically programmed me to believe that nothing was wrong, so I didn't do anything wrong ever. So if you, just like when you eat, a vegetarian can eat the same as a meat eater, and you're going to grow the same things on your body. There's the fingernails and your hair. And it doesn't matter if you eat a leaf or you eat a cow. You're going to, you know, if you break things down enough, it's the same thing. It's going to grow the same. It's going to come back to be the same thing, right? So it's going to come back as skin, come back as hair, come back as fingernails, come back as whatever your body needs. So the same with life and situations, you can break things down like situationally, and you can turn things that are wrong into right. And so I never would be wrong about anything. And my mom, she may have bragged about it then, but she hated it at the time because I never was wrong about nothing. My dad taught me to talk my way out of every single thing I could justify. There's no, and this is why I built the gym. This is why I had the success in the UFC. There was never a no. There was never a you can't do. There was never a fail. There was never a, you know, you can't pass this. There's always a way to sit. There's always a way to get a yes. There's always a way to pass. There's always a way to succeed. There's always a way to have success. You just have to break it down farther. And if you didn't get it, then you didn't break it down enough. And school teaches kids and teaches everybody else the opposite. School teaches you pass or fail. And if you fail, you leave. You don't get a second chance. Quit. Go. Do something else. No. That's when you start. Everybody fails. Nobody's supposed to know, right? And then win or lose when you play sports in school. You win or you lose. You win or you lose. If you lose, you're out, right? You go back. No. When you lose, you learn and you become a winner. So it's like school doesn't teach you the essentials, and it's completely opposite. It focuses everything on win and everything on pass, everything on succeeding, but it never focuses on the things that actually help you, which is the failing, the not succeeding and the no's.
Do you think your MMA helps with that? Because you're constantly, if you do wrestling or if you do jits, you're constantly failing, and then the failure is actually where you grow the most, and you level up and you learn how to do everything, and then now you have it. It wasn't that you went to do it and you got it and then you've learned it. It was more that you failed, then you learned how to fix it, and then now you have it forever.
Yeah, well, that was the attraction to me for that. Was because that's exactly right. You're never going to go to jiu-jitsu and just learn and be great. You're going to get tapped out, and you're going to have to get tapped out until you learn how not to get tapped out. So if you only had one chance, you would have never, you'll fail and you'll never come back to class. You'll go one day. But because jiu-jitsu lets you fail over and over and over and over, you become a black belt in 5 years. Do you understand? So like, that was one thing I liked, is the fact that like there was no end, you know, you weren't punished for getting tapped out. You weren't punished for losing a match. You weren't punished for failing, or, you know, you like poker, you know, you just keep going and eventually you win. And when you win, the win is big. And that's what people see. They don't see all the times that you failed the tournaments and the thousands of times you tried.
Become a combatant.